Our Old Testament lesson this morning is from the 8th chapter of the book of Psalms. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds, and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky, and the fish in the sea, all that swim in the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. This is the word of the Lord.
One day a man had an absolutely horrible day at work. Nothing went right. Maybe you know those kind of days. His boss yelled at him, the project fell through. His co-workers didn't do what they said they were going to do. Everything went bad. And by the time he headed home and started walking into his house, he had just had it. He walked into the living room and there was his wife. And he could tell immediately that she had had a bad day. He could just tell. But he really didn't want to hear it. So he said to her, "Dear, I've had the worst possible day ever. This has been a horrible, bad, bad day. All I want to hear is something good." His wife thought for a moment and then said, "Well, dear, you know the three beautiful children we have? Two of them did not break a leg today." It's all in your perspective, isn't it? Perspective. It's a critical matter in terms of how we look at life. And today, we continue our journey thinking about gratitude, as November is Gratitude Month, and as we hope that many of you are participating in the 22-day Gratitude Journal. We've given out over 500 journals, and many of you are doing the daily exercises in the 22-day Gratitude Challenge. And there's another week to go in this, so I hope you will continue to do that. And even if you are not, I challenge and encourage you to think about giving thanks to God for several moments every day. A reminder, too, that our gratitude challenge is on our Facebook page. You can pick it up any day you'd like to. So, in the midst of our gratitude challenge, we're thinking about a gratitude formula. What it takes to live a persistent, consistent life of gratitude to God. And last week, we talked about how you have to remove something if that's going to happen. Remove E was the first part of the gratitude formula. And E is envy. Removing envy or covetousness, the desire to want more and want what other people have, removing that huge roadblock to gratitude is certainly a beginning part of the journey of a grateful life. Today, we add something in this formula for gratitude. We add P, perspective. Perspective is a fascinating word, and just like the word envy, perhaps you don't think about or reflect very much on this concept of envy or the concept of perspective. But these are important details of how we approach life. Perspective is a way of looking at things. The original word in Latin means to look through. Another word coming from that root is inspect. So if you inspect something, you look at it very carefully and from all angles. So perspective is a way of looking at things. And today, we think about how it is that our ability to give thanks to God is significantly impacted by our ability to have a certain divine perspective on what happens to us. Gratitude always increases when perspective enlarges. Your gratitude to God will always increase when your perspective enlarges. The Bible passage we draw from today is a beautiful one of my favorite Psalms, the 8th Psalm. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. It begins. Written by David, who would go on to be the king of Israel, the first king who established Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. We're talking about the year 1000 BC, 3,000 years ago. Contemplate that, 3,000 years ago. This David, who brought the Ark of the Covenant, the Ten Commandments, to Jerusalem and established it there, and then whose son Solomon would eventually build the great temple where the Ten Commandments would be kept and where worship would be centered. And so David, having been a shepherd boy, and remember giving us the beautiful words of the 23rd Psalm, now in Psalm 8 gives us perspective. And this is the perspective we weave into the attitude of gratitude that we need. It's a teaching psalm, teaching about godly perspective. The first thing David teaches through this psalm is in that very first phrase. Hear it again. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Perspective, from God's point of view, means always taking the wider view. The wider view. Think about David's world. When he wrote this, all he knew was his own little world in Bethlehem, where he might was born, in Jerusalem, 5 miles away, in Israel, in that area. But he says, blessed are you, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Nowadays, we have ability to see what's happening all around the globe at any given time. David didn't, but he had the wisdom to understand that God's majesty extended beyond what he could see, that it was wider than his experience. And in so doing, he gives us God's perspective, which is always wider than ours. He begins, how majestic is your name in all the earth. I want to do a little experiment. I'm going to ask Evan to help me out here. And I need another volunteer coming up here, so you're going to help me out. Come on up here. Yeah, that'd be you. Okay, just stand right here. What's your name?
Joe.
Hey, Joe. This is Evan. Say hi. Okay, I'm going to hold this in between you two. By the way, this is what? Okay, it's the earth. All right. So I'm going to hold this here. Now, Joe, I'm going to just do that like there. You don't have to do a thing. Joe, I just want you to stand right facing Evan. Okay. Evan, I want you to look here, and Joe, I want you to look there, and I want you to tell us what specifically you see. What's one of the specific things you see?
Japan.
Japan.
I see Africa.
Japan? Africa. Joe, do you see Japan?
I do not.
Do you see Africa?
No.
That's the whole thing. Okay? Thank you. Wasn't hard. He was sweating bullets when he came up here, but thanks, Joe. Good job. All right, so what it takes for us to understand anything is to have a wider perspective. Joe saw Africa, Evan saw Japan. They didn't see things the same, just like you and I. We don't see things the same. God, however, can see both what? Africa and Japan and everything, because God has a wider perspective. Do you see the point? And so if you want to be able to have a more godly point of view and perspective, we need to widen our points of view, widen our perspective. Studs Terkel was an author of 20, 30 years ago, and he wrote a book on racism. And he tells a fascinating story about his wife. Now, he and his wife, working hard, he wrote the book about racism. He was very sincere and trying hard to teach people how not to be racist. But he tells this fascinating story about his wife. She was driving alone in an all-African-American neighborhood in the city where they lived. She was driving slowly because it was a 25-mile-an-hour zone or so, and she noticed a group of men on a street corner up above. And as she slowly went past them, they started waving at her and trying to get her attention, and she got really nervous. She thought that they were going to somehow threaten her or do her harm as she slowly drove through this strange neighborhood, strange to her. So she put her foot down and quickly sped away. It was only about 4 blocks later when she realized that she was going the wrong way on a one-way street and that the crowd was simply trying to help her and to protect her. Do you see the wider perspective she needed? Moving away from her preconceived ideas. Or is it like this, this wider view? I love trees. I have been known literally to hug a tree. Just don't tell my wife, but I do. We did a sermon series last summer just on trees. And so I love that picture of a tree. But my perspective is limited. And is it not much more beautiful when I have a wider perspective and see the forest? Much more beautiful. We tend just to see a little bit, but God sees all. And God invites you and me, in order to be more thankful, to broaden our perspective, to widen our perspective. Do you see how that works? I am much more grateful for the beautiful forest than for one single tree. So too, I love, as many of you do, to go to the ocean. And often, remember, going down to the water at the ocean and putting my foot in some waves. It's a lovely thing. But is it not much more beautiful, and am I certainly not much more grateful when I see what's beyond those few waves and have a chance to look at that? Wider perspective, more beauty, more gratitude. Do you see how it works? God's perspective is always wider. There's a wonderful hymn of the church that says there's a wideness in God's mercy. That's because God sees all. And if you're going to live a godly life and a grateful godly life, we need to broaden our view, widen our view. Paul put it this way. I think he meant this when he wrote, "All things work together for good with those who love the Lord." All things. So first, God invites us to live a thankful life by having a wider view. But then David in Psalm 8 also gives us this counsel to have a longer view. Here's what he says. "When I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, who are we that you are mindful of us and that you care for us?" Can you not remember a time when in the night sky and a clear sky above you, you stood outside and something inside you pondered, "Whoa. Who am I in this great, great magnitude of the universe that God cares for me, knows me by name?" That's what David was saying. He invites us to remember, as God has, to have a longer perspective, to see longer down the road. Most of us aren't very good at that. But like the trees and the oceans, when we sit or stand and look at a beautiful full moon, as I did just recently, there it is. Do you not often just pause and look and stare? But is your gratitude for what you see not expanded when you take the longer view and are able to see the galaxies that now we can see with telescopes? You see how the longer view gives us the better gratitude. And that's how God intends it. 1,000 years in your sight, says the psalmist elsewhere, are like a day. Taking the long view. You want to look at things the way God looks at them, look at the longer view. As you go through difficulties in life, as you face challenges, as you have to climb mountains, sometimes all we can see is what's right before us. It's called navel gazing. But to take the long view, to see the possibilities of what God might do in the longer time frame, is what David's talking about. In 1628, John Bunyan was in jail. John Bunyan was a simple man, but he loved to write. And he was in jail because of conscience. He refused to go to the church, get this, to go to the church that the Church of England mandated and required him to go to. This was in the early Reformation era, the 1600s, and people were saying, "I don't have to go to only one church. There's many different ways." Church of England still was saying, no, you have to go to the Church of England church. He would not, so he was thrown in jail, 12 years. And it was there that he had a dream. And that dream led him in prison to write. And he wrote the classic, powerful story called Pilgrim's Progress. One of the great allegories of English literature. I encourage you, especially young people, to get a young people's version of the Pilgrim's Progress. It is so powerful, it is a wonderful teaching technique, and it is great literature. Well, John Bunyan, in The Pilgrim's Progress, wrote about two characters, the primary characters, Christian and Christiana, his wife. And it's an allegory about life. And it tells the story how they go through a variety of hardships in life, going through difficult places. And a part of that story finds that Christian is going through Dark Valley. Bunyan was very simple in giving us names. It's Dark Valley. Then he is led to the Delectable Mountain in John Bunyan's writing. Delectable Mountain. That's a good mountain. When he gets up to the top of Delectable Mountain, he's asked to look through perspective glass. That's right, they call it perspective glass. And so artists have depicted this as those when John Bunyan was writing, as Christian on top of a mountain looking through a telescope. And he's looking at the distance. And in the distance, he can see the heavenly city. The point of it is that John Bunyan wanted us to know that Christian and all of us, as we walk through hard valleys and difficult times and dark places, need to keep the perspective that the ultimate goal and the ultimate destination is heaven itself. And that's the point of Pilgrim's Progress. Keeping the long view, remembering that what you're going through is not forever, and that God has a good and ultimately glorious place reserved for you and for me. Paul, again, put it this way. He said, I consider that the suffering of this present time isn't worth comparing. It isn't even worth comparing with the glory that someday will be revealed to us. That's heaven. The longer perspective. In 8 weeks, we will commemorate, as a church and many people who are dear to us, the 10th anniversary of the Haiti earthquake. Many of you remember that I and our mission team were on ground in Haiti on January 12th in 2010 when a 7.1 magnitude earthquake claimed 250,000 lives. We could have died. And that led, after we came back, that led to some fascinating conversations among us about why we survived and how it was that so many others died. And we struggled with issues like God's plan and who are we that we survived. And one person said something as they contemplated the terrible deaths, including friends of ours. They said something very wise that I will never forget. They said, perhaps in God's time, 3 or 4 generations from now, God will use someone to do some great thing, and that only could have happened because of this earthquake. Because things happen. Dominoes fall. History affects history. Do you see that? And when they said that, I thought, well, of course that's possible. Because God is not bound by time. God doesn't see or work in things the way we do. The longer view. And I wonder about that, if indeed that is not true. Even if we do not know it, we know that God invites us to take the long view, to see things the more the way he does. So when you're struggling, when you're facing mountains, when life crashes in, when things aren't working out, God invites us to be grateful and more grateful by widening our perspective, to see more around, not just what's in front of us. And God invites us to see the longer view, even if we don't understand it, that God in his wisdom is working out his plan over time, even if we can't grasp it. When my children were little, we vacationed in Cape May Point. Many of you know that place. It's a beautiful part of the shore, and in Cape May Point there is a lighthouse. How many of you have been up to the Cape May Lighthouse? Sure, lots of you. Well, the first time I took the children up the Cape May Lighthouse, it was a great adventure, of course, and they were rather young. Of course, we were renting a house for the week, but when we went up in the Cape May Lighthouse, the children were pretty amazed. First, they wanted to find our house, right? So we found the house and could look over there. But then they started to see the wider view of Cape May Point. All the houses here and the pond over there and the general store over there, the view widened. And then they lifted their eyes and they looked all the way across the Delaware Bay over to the state of Delaware. And then they turned this way and they could see way out the long view across the Atlantic. And their perspective changed. Friends, we know God is everywhere, but the truth of this story is that the closer we get to God, the wider our perspective, the longer our perspective, and the larger our gratitude. Will you pray with me? Oh Lord our God, we ponder who you are. For in your greatness, in your majesty, in your creative goodness, with David we wonder, who are we that you are mindful of us? But you are. And you invite us, Lord, as Jesus revealed, to see your world and all its people with new eyes. So help us to widen our perspective, to lengthen our perspective, to see more of what you have created, and in so seeing, to give you abundant and ever-increasing gratitude. Help us on this journey, we ask, today and in every day. Amen.